I'm going to go ahead and go to the Word so we can, so you guys can take a break and sit down just for a moment. I'm going to go to a very familiar story that we've read. We've heard this preached, and I'm going to go at a different angle that the Lord has really been dealing with me. Last Wednesday, the pastor was preaching my sermon tonight. He started it, and it was amazing, like how much God was really, like God works through his people, amen. When God's dealing with somebody on one thing, it's amazing that somebody else has been dealt with the same way. And God is really revealing something to me through this, and I want to share it with you guys. John chapter 6, starting at verse number 2. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain. Am I in the right place? Yes, I am. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and he saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew that what he would do. He knew what he was about to do, but yet he still asked the question. So Philip answered and said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so that when the men sat down in number, about 5,000. Think about that, 5,000 men. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Lord, I thank you, God, for all that you've done for us. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your tender love that you've given us. God, I thank you for your word that you have given us, Lord, as a testimony of who you are and how powerful that you are, Jesus. God, I'm asking you, Father, to help me tonight. God, give me strength, Lord, to minister your word to the people that are here to hear this word. God, Lord, use me today, God. Move me out of your way, Father, and let me be your mouthpiece today, God, and you speak to us in this hour that we need you, Lord. And all these things, I never want to fail to give you praise in the matchless, mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes I think that we take God's miracles that we read about in the Bible for granted. I think that sometimes we don't give him enough weight or enough gravity of what God is actually doing, what he has actually accomplished and what he's able to do. Sometimes I don't think that we give enough thought in some of the things that God has done in his word. And I mean, just sitting back thinking about this miracle in particular, I love to eat, okay? And nobody else, yes, everybody, we love to eat, right? Nobody likes to go hungry. Think about where these people are in particular right here at the feet of Jesus, because they want to hear what he has to say. And they're so far off, they're so far away from getting anything, and there's no money to take up enough to go buy whatever. But only a lad that was among them had a little bit. All he had was just a little bit. But I'm the Andrew in the crowd. I'm the one in the crowd that says, "But what is this when there's so many?" That's where my faith is at. That's where I see myself. I see myself as being as Andrew, saying, "I don't know what you want me to do with this. This is all that we have." But God's not looking for us to say what do we have that he needs. He's asking us to give what we have so he can use that. He's not asking you to give him something that you don't have. He's asking you what you do have. Okay? He says, What is there for us to eat? And that's when the disciple, he said, right here we have two fishes and five loaves. And that's so little compared to 5,000 men. I don't know how many women and children was in the group, but you can do the math. If there was 5,000 men in this group right here, I mean, there could have been upwards of 20 to 25,000 people sitting here. And two little fishes and five loaves was going to be enough. In God's eyes, and Jesus, he said, he knew, he asked the question, but he already knew what he was about to do. He already had it already, it was already a plan in place. He just wanted to see how the disciples was going to react. So we got two disciples. One answered this way of what we have, and the other one says, what are they among so many? So I have to, I choose sides. I'm sorry. I pick sides in this. When I read the Bible, I put myself, where am I at in this story? And I keep finding myself being the Andrew. I keep finding myself going, just questioning God. I don't know if I'm the only one, but I question what God is really wanting to do with my life. I've questioned, am I really enough? Is what you've done through my life, is it really enough? But yet I keep coming back to this same thing, and God said, yes, it is enough. Yes, you are enough. So what? When the pastor was all over this there last Wednesday night, when he was talking about you really are enough, guess what? You really are enough. It might not look like it on the outside. It might not look like you got it all together. It might look, I mean, think about Moses. Moses was a guy of slow speech, and he had a speech impediment or what have you. And he said, I can't talk. I'm not able to speak plain. I'm not able to talk in a big crowd. I'm not able to do this. But that's not what God asked him. He said, just go and do and open your mouth and I'm going to fill it. God is able to call the people that are available to him. He's not asking for your ability. He's asking for your availability. He's not asking you to give him something that you don't have. He's asking you to give him what you do have. Amen. He's not asking you to go outside and to gather something together that don't belong to you already and try to make something to get it together. No, he's asking you to just give him what you have. Give him what's already in store, what you already have in you. And yes, like the song said, I know that I was not enough, but I've got a God that saved me, and he called me, and he's made me his own, and I am his child, and he's going to use us. He's going to use, all we got to do is just yield to him, amen. So how much do you have that's available for God to use? When we ask the question, are you enough? And the little, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's our own psyche or if it's our own mentality, the way that it is, that we're programmed that we want to measure ourselves and we don't feel like we measure up. But I'm here to tell you that God called you anyway. He didn't call you because of your talent. He didn't call you because of your ability. He didn't call you because of those things. No, he called you because you're able to yield to him, because I don't have nothing. I need him. And that's what he's drawn to. He's looking for somebody to worship him. And whenever I sit back in my life and I think about where God has brought me from and what God has done for me time and time again, that he's never failed me. He's never left me alone. And I know that he's with me. Amen. And I have to remind myself that I know that I was not enough. I was not able. I was not. But I am because of him. And what he's done, amen. Because you follow after a God that's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or even think, through the power that works in us, amen. That's because he called the people that are available to him. When you make yourself available to God, things can change. When you give God all that you have, things can really change. Things can really just, your story just, it goes a total 180 from where you see it. There's times when you can look back and you can imagine how this is going to play out this way and this is going to go that way. But man, every time that you give it to God, it's just a total, it just makes everything so much better. I don't have to fight for this. I don't have to fight for that because my God is going to supply my needs. Amen. So I go back to another story that I want to relate to with us, what we just read about the fishes. I want to go to 2 Kings. This was the story that the pastor read the other night, and I want to read this again. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Think about that for a moment. Think about this. The woman has two sons, and she has no money. She has no husband now, and a debt is due to be paid. She has got to come up with something, and she has nothing else. Like, she's just desperate. Sometimes I think we need to get desperate with God, amen? I think sometimes we get so idle in ourselves and thinking that I can fix this on my own, or I can just go another way. I don't have to fight this battle today or whatever. Sometimes I feel like we need to get desperate and vulnerable in God's presence, amen? It's hard for us, and I said this in a men's meeting a while back, saying, it's hard for us men to be vulnerable to God. It's hard for us to say, I'm lacking something. It's hard for us to, I can't tell you that I'm not going to sit here and admit to Johnny that I've got something going on, that I'm a weaker vessel. I can't do that. Sometimes our pride takes over. But this is a place you can have no pride. When you're talking to the King that created all things, you cannot have no pride in His presence. That there's times when I just need to lay on my face and say, God, I need You. No matter what else happens, I need You, God. And man, it's just amazing what God can do. So this lady, she has nothing. She has got a debt that is owed. Next verse. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? What shall I do for thee? Man, I'd be like, well, I want you to pay my debt. I mean, what else? I need you to pay, man. I need some money, dog. But he says it with this. He says, Tell me, what hast thou in the house? What do you have? Asking a question, the same thing. What did Jesus ask the disciples? What do we have? What's available? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Now oil back in that day was used, you could use oil to make money with. You could have, if you had an abundance of olive oil, it was used for multiple purposes. It was used for cooking purposes, medicinal purposes, I hope I said that right. And it was also used for trade, for money. And that's all she had was just a little bit of oil. Next verse. A little bit of oil was all she had. She said, I have nothing. But he said, then he said to her, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and she shut the door upon her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. She did exactly what the man of God said to do. Sometimes obedience, man, it don't sound like it's going to work. It don't sound like I'm going to have this all together, but sometimes I've got to trust the man of God in my life. Sometimes I've got to trust the ear the voice that I'm hearing. When God tells you to go do something, I can't start measuring and thinking that all that I have is a little bit of oil. I've got to start putting my trust in Him and knowing what He's able to do. Next verse. And it came to pass when the vessels were full. Now she started with a little bit of oil. And she borrowed vessels, even empty vessels. And now, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Think about that. Every single empty vessel was filled with a little bit of oil. But they was all full to the brim now. And the oil stayed. There was exactly, it was the exact amount. Not one over or under. It was exactly what she needed. Last verse. Then she came and told the man of God, and she said, Go, and he said, Go and sell the oil and pay thy debt, and thou live, thou and the children of the rest. Think about that. God give exactly the amount that she needed. There's times whenever you start adding things up. We all do this. We all start looking at, even in our finances, we start adding things up and start jumbling around. Well, I can move this around, I can do this, and I can do this. But think about having nothing, but yet your debt's due. Think about the sin that you owed, but your debt was due and you had nothing to cover that sin. But yet we talked about the blood. We sang about the blood. We know about the blood, that the blood is enough. So we've got a God that's able to do all things. Amen. Everything that we need, is he's able to fill those needs. Amen. We don't have to do anything on our own. He done it all for us. He's got it all laid out in front of us. Make yourself available. Make yourself to where I don't have nothing to give but a praise. Hey, guess what? He loves our praises. I don't have nothing to give but a hallelujah. Guess what? He loves to hear him be exalted. Give him praise, the only one that's worthy to be praised. You can sit back and self-loathe all you want to. You can sit back and say, I don't have enough. I don't have anything to give. You can sit back and be one of those like I was, like the Andrew in the story. But you can sit back and look at the others and say, I know what my God can do with this little bit. It might not be much to you, but I've got enough in my tank that he's able to multiply this. Amen. God is a God of multiplication. Amen. He's able to do things that we just it don't add up. We can't go off of God's own calculator because we can't outgive God. You can't never go too far or be too far because God's going to go with you every step. You can't outrun him. So give what you have. He's not asking you to give something that don't belong to you or whatever. Another story that I want to relate to. I'm not going to read it, it's too long, but 1 Samuel chapter 17, we got David, who's already been anointed to be king. David is as the Bible says, he is a man after God's own heart. David had a relationship with the Lord. David knew the Lord. You can read the Psalms and see that David was writing things that just, you can't write those things out of imagination. You write those things out of revelation, amen? You can't write it out of something that you just dreamed up. No, this is something that he knew because he had a relationship with God. He had been anointed to be king. And his father Jesse told him, said, go take food to your brothers. He had three brothers that was fighting in a battle. And he runs in the journey and he goes and he meets them. And there steps out Goliath, this champion of the Philistines. This man that was just massive in size altogether, that the very men feared and ran away just by seeing the sight of this giant, just seeing how big that he was and then knowing that he was a champion of the Philistines. They ran and they hid. And David was confused because he knows who's on his side. And he has to ask the question, who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of the living God? Who is this man? Is there not a cause? Do we not have a purpose here? Why are we afraid? Why are we running from this man I know that God's able to deliver us out of his hand. And his brothers got mad at him and said, oh, you're just out here because you just want to see the battle. You're just out here because you want this. They was trying to discourage him. Does this sound familiar? Because you get a revelation of who God is, and you're like, I've got a big old problem, but I've got a God. And then you got a little something in your ear starts going, oh yeah, but your problem is so big. What you have is so little. What you've done is so bad. I've got a big old giant right here that I know my God, but I've got a problem. I've got something that just keeps eating at me. It's just like his three brothers telling him, you need to be away from here. You don't belong here. But the word got to the king. The word had made it to the king that there was this young boy in the crowd that was not afraid of this big Philistine. He was not afraid of him at all. So he said, go get him and bring him to me. Bring him to me. So he rehearses this same thing to him. He said, I don't know who this uncircumcised Philistine is, but he has nothing on my God. And Saul said, but you're just a boy. He has been fighting since he was young. He knows how to, but David said, I'm a keeper of sheep. Man, think about this. I'm a keeper of sheep. And there was one time that a lion and a bear, they came in to tack or to get my sheep. And God was able to deliver him in the middle of this fight. Do you think a man has a chance against a lion? Do you think a man has a chance against a bear? No. They put on these shows. If you watch them, they're pretty comical. I don't know if it's a circus or what it is, but you got a man that crawls into a ring with a bear. And this bear can be 150 pounds. And you can have a 300-pound man, and that bear will sling him around like a rag doll all day. And it'll just toy with him. Think about that. We're talking about a boy, a young man, 17 years old, was able to stand up and fight with a lion or a bear. Not afraid at all, because he was anointed to be king. He knew he had a promise. We've got to get this kind of mentality. And guess what? David didn't have nothing. You know what I'd be doing? Where's my gun at? I see a bear, I see a lion, go get me something. I need to shoot this thing. I want to fight this from a distance. He had nothing but his hands. Think about it. And he didn't say to God, oh, all I have is my hands. No, he never said nothing like that. He said, let me fight him. Let me go. I want God. God's all over me. God's able to deliver me. I'm anointed to be king. I'm anointed for something in the kingdom of God. I know that God's going to deliver me out of this. And the same thing that he's seen in the Philistine giant, he knew that God would deliver him out of this. There's nothing that God cannot do. There's nothing that God cannot. God anointed you for a purpose. He anointed you for a reason. You're able to stand up and fight the devil, amen, because God has anointed you for this. He's given you the goods to fight this battle. So guess what? You are enough. You are enough in the kingdom of God, because he called you, amen. He didn't mess up. Man, don't sit back and think sometimes, I've done this myself. They'll sit back and think, I don't think I'm supposed to do this. I don't think I'm supposed to preach. Man, I can't not preach. I feel like, I know what Jeremiah felt like. Sometimes it just feels like fire in your bones. You got to let this thing out, man. The Bible said it, if you fill it up, it's going to run out of your belly like rivers of living water, amen. So when Saul said to David, he said, here, take my armor, put on my helmet, take my shield, take my sword. And the Bible describes it the way it does, if I'm not mistaken. David actually puts this stuff on. Now, the Bible says that Saul was a head above everybody else. So we know Saul was pretty tall. He was a bigger sized man, too. And here we got a 17-year-old boy that puts on a grown man's armor. I'd say this male was hanging on the ground. I'd say he probably didn't have broad enough shoulders to hold up the shield and the sword altogether. His pants was probably falling down from the weight of the sword. Think about it. This was not his. This armor did not belong to him, but he had an armor that was spiritual that you couldn't see. He said, I want to take this back off. And Saul says, you can't. He said, no, I've never proved this before, but I have proved this, that I know that when I step onto this battlefield, that I've got a God that's going to go with me every step of the way. I have proved at one time my God did not leave me in the valley whenever the lion and the bear showed up. I have proved one time that whenever I ask my God to supply my need, that he shows up exactly when you need him to, amen. So the only thing that David stepped into the battlefield with was what he started the battle with. He had a sling and he had some stones, and God was able to anoint him to smote the giant and to take the head of the giant, because God is going to go with you every step. You don't go through nothing alone. God's going to anoint you for this. You're prepared for this battle. God uses what you have. All you got to do is submit to him. It's hard. It's, man, it's submission. Submission sometimes is not in our vocabulary. And all you hard-headed men can say amen. Because we know. I've told you this, guys, before. I mean, it might be pride of my own. I don't know. But I don't want to call somebody to work on my vehicle. Don't want to do it. Because I feel like I can fix it. I'm getting older now, and I don't want to work on it as much as I used to. But when I was younger, man, never. Don't you dare call somebody. I'm going to do it myself. But, man, in this situation, in your spiritual walk, you have no business. You have no business trying to fix your spiritual walk. The only thing that you need to do in your spiritual walk in this instance is start giving your problem to God. Stop trying to fight the battle on your own and saying, oh yeah, I can dodge this. I can go away from this. I can run. I can get away from this. And don't, man, turn around and give it to God and say, God, here's my problem. Problem, here's my God. our pastor uses that illustration, and I love it. Our problems are so small sometimes, and we turn around and we look at how big our problem is. But really, we're serving a great big God that's able to help us with every need that we have. We don't have nothing that he's not slacking anything. He hears our cry. He really does hear us, and he wants you. He wants to commune with you. So when we visit him in praise, and I Aaron, you can get ready to come. Whenever I face battles, and I have talked to men of God in my life, and I have said, I've got this going on, man, and it's wearing me plumb out. It's just getting me, it's tearing me all to pieces. And the answer that I get is not the answer I was looking for. Man, you just got to pray. Don't you think I already done that? That's the way I feel like saying. Don't you think that I've already started? I know I need to pray. I know. And you start. But man, there's something really happens when you start calling on the name of Jesus. There really is something that starts to change. Man, your very atmosphere just changes when you really. I mean, yeah, you could say, God, help me in this situation and not be sincere. And I think sometimes I've been in a habit of doing it like that. But yeah, I have prayed. I have asked God to do this, but have I really sought after him? Have I really? But the biggest thing that has helped me is praise. It's so much bigger than what we give it credit for. Our praise is a huge weapon. We sing a song here that our praise is the weapon that brings the walls down. And it really does happen. When you start praising God, and I'm not talking about praying about your problem. I'm not talking about just dwelling on the problem and saying, I've got a problem. God, I need you. But just start saying, man, even if you fix the problem or you don't, I want to praise you for who you are. I want to praise you because you're the only one worthy of praise. When you start worshiping God, then that was the other thing about David. David was a worshiper. And think about any time that you ever see in a Psalms where David comes out of the fight victorious, most of the time he come out with praise. He come out with giving God the reverence that he needed. Sometimes it's just to open up with a hallelujah, giving him the most praise because he's worthy of it. Because we serve a God that cares. The Bible says to cast all. And our elder Eddie taught us that years ago. You know what all means in the dictionary? Every one of them. All. No matter how small, no matter how big, but you got to care. Give it to him. But don't dwell on those things. Don't dwell on just the care. Remember who he is. And remember who he created you to be. Even though I've got a problem, even though I've got a battle that I'm fighting, a battle that I'm facing, does not change who he is. We're serving the same God. The same God that delivered David in the David that we read about in this Bible that we hold so dear is the same God that's able to deliver you out of the mouth of the lion or out of the paw of the bear. We've got a spiritual, physical, mental, doesn't matter. We've got a God that takes every step with us, every step of the way, amen. Every single step. So I don't know, as God was leading me into this, and I found myself to be the Andrew of the group, that I have checked myself to start looking at the situation a little bit different. And stop looking at what I have and how small and insignificant it may seem. And how little that it feels. And turn that around to saying, man, my God can do this with only this. Think about that. I only have this much, but what can God do with this much? Amazing things he can do, amen. He can take a blind man and make him see spiritually or physically. He can make us hear things that nobody else can hear because his voice is specific. You can be as spiritual as you want to be. Amen. As spiritual as you want to be, we've got a God that's limitless. He's infinite in his power and he's infinite in his wisdom. He knows what you need long before you ever ask him. So let's all stand, and while we get ready to worship, I want you to remember who you're worshiping and why we worship him. Let's not focus on a problem that we have. Don't sit back and look at, man, what I don't have, but look what you do have. Look that you have a God that was able to bring you out of the darkness, out of sin, out of the very hand of the devil, the very hand of the enemy. He was able to deliver you. Man, that's enough to praise him. We was singing about freedom. Man, I was once bound. And we can all have a testimony of that. If something in this life has had you bound in one fashion or another, something had you, but we've got a God that's able to loose you from that. He's able to set you free. And freedom really is awesome. And where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. We're able to worship him in freedom, knowing that he's set you free from so much. He's set you apart. So as we sing this song, open up your heart to him. And if you need a prayer at the altar is always open. And if you need a prayer, we've got folks that will pray with you. But if you've got to remember, we've got to remember that you are enough, no matter how insignificant or small that it feels or seems. You've got a God that's able to multiply all that you are and make you into something that you cannot even fathom. Let's give him praise. Jesus.